about the business of the web. What the business of the web is to me is not that I'm an e-commerce specialist, although there are those out there, and that's part of the business of the web. I'm not an ROI analyst, though I do employ them. I'm not a user experience designer, nor am I a technologist or a salesperson. I am someone who watches other people to see how they take in what we are trying to tell them. I watch teams to see how they can better work together. I work on strategy and messaging for my company. As I mentioned, we've been in business 11 years. We have clients that we have been working with over a decade. We have some clients that we have been working with every day for 9 years. That is not a pitch for Hesketh.com, but what that says to you is that we really care about relationships. And so part of what I do as a strategist for the company is to ensure that we continue to have those relationships, look at processes and communications that will enable that. It's part of our core corporate values. It's what defines, it's what informs every business decision that we make. So that's what brings us to progressive development, which is what I'm here to actually talk to you about, not about Hesketh.com. You can get all that on the web. So progressive development is not a development methodology. It is not a project methodology. It's a way of thinking about approaching your website. And before I get too far in, I'd like to get a show of hands to learn a little bit about you. How many of you work for agencies? Got a few. How many of you are in-house talent? How many of you are in-house talent who work with agencies? Obviously, I'm coming from a background of agency. And one of the things that we as agencies do is we work on projects. It's how we make money. And it's how we stay in business, right? And that's all good, because everybody's got to eat. But the web is not just a campaign. We all know that. We work on it. But it's kind of hard when you're actually in the business of it. How do you make the web not be a campaign and be a successful agency partnering with your clients? That's where progressive development comes in. It's about, I mean, you still do projects, but it's about smaller projects, iterative over time, as opposed to big monolithic projects where there's a lot on the line and it takes a long time to get there. What I find, and we work with a lot of nonprofits and public sector clients, a lot of really passionate people who have fiscal year constraints and fiscal year planning, and that means they have fiscal year time delays. So first they have to convince somebody to do it, and then they have to convince somebody to budget it, and then they have to do it. And so you may want to make changes, pretty big changes, but you can't do it, and then by the time you're able to do it, there's even more to do. So I'm trying to figure out how do we break that cycle so that we're not postponing joy, so that we're getting users what they need, we're getting our organizations what they need when they need it. So the key to progressive development is a markup methodology some of you may have heard of called progressive enhancement. Progressive enhancement is a markup methodology that my company pioneered, my CTO, and it enables evolution, and that's why I'm really excited about it. So there's a lot of progress going on, right? I've talked about progressive enhancement, introduced that shortly. Progressive evolution, or progressive enhancement, progressive development, lots of progress. Progressive enhancement is fundamental to rapid development for us in progressive development. It is a markup strategy that emphasizes standards compliance. You've heard Dory talk about standards. It's separation of content and presentation. You can read the bullet points as well as I do, but the very key is layering progressively functionality and respecting end user preferences. So those are two big keys, and it's that layering that progressive development is really about. Sites built with progressive enhancement are optimized for search engines. It's done right. Little buzzword warning. It has a lower total cost of ownership, TCO, love that. Doesn't require a database to be able to make incremental changes, to be able to make gross redesigns or great redesigns. But it does work with databases, so they're not mutually exclusive. A lot of buzz around AJAX now. Some people were saying, oh, it's AJAX or it's progressive enhancement. Actually, they are not mutually exclusive. Progressive enhancement is more about a way of structuring your markup and using CSS for design, and you can layer anything else on top of that. It's easy, though, to transition to a database-driven application when you need it if you've structured your content using progressive enhancement. Progressive enhancement was developed because I wanted to do projects faster. I'm a business owner. I'm looking to do more work, fewer people, faster, 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 but good work. So I said to my CTO, I said, how can we execute faster? And the way that we used to approach clients is we would do wireframes and architectural diagrams, and we would present those. And they'd go through iteration. And then we would do visual design and emotional branding on top of that. And what I found was they didn't really engage with the architecture until they saw design. But at first, it seemed to be working well. We had early adopters, and they got architecture. And what progressive enhancement allowed us to do was, as soon as architecture was nailed, before we went into design, we could start building out a website. So that I was able to have design and integration happening and development happening at the same time. So it was awesome. In 2003, we talked about progressive enhancement not just to our clients, but to the web development community at large at South by Southwest. CSS Zen Garden picked up the concepts and did a great job of really selling the fact that you could do standards compliant markup and have beautiful design as well. It didn't have to just be a box that looked like a wireframe for it to be built underneath right. In 2005, everybody realized that if you built things standards compliant, you would be better optimized for search engines. That meant that you could actually convince your boss to let you do it right and take it out of the tables and do it semantically correct. 2005 is also when AOL's Steve Chipman said, we're going to use progressive enhancement as a markup methodology within our web development firm. 2006, Yahoo picked it up and we were slash dotted. My server stats went through the roof. I had no idea what was going on. So all this time we're doing projects that are better for our clients. We're doing them faster. I mentioned that they didn't really get architectural diagrams. Well, that factors into 2005, 2006. We started presenting our diagrams and designs together, rich interfaces to clients. What progressive enhancement, though, allows us to do is not only build them right, but to rapidly iterate without throwing away code. So some people iterate with Flash. We actually iterate in HTML. We don't just iterate during the design process. This is what's key to progressive development, is that your site is always a prototype. No matter how rich it is, no matter how long you've been adding things to it, you can always change it and change it economically. So that goes to that lower total cost of ownership that I was talking about. Progressive enhancement, it's a winner. We've got adoption from some of the biggest web development firms in the world. But progressive development is a winner too because of that. So we're tying that back end and that front end together. Progressive enhancement enabling evolution through low-cost iteration. And that's the key to progressive development. As I mentioned, progressive development is not a project, a development methodology. It plays well with others, as these fine people are doing. Pipe cleaners. Nobody calls them pipe cleaners anymore. They're Chanel stems in the States. But I grew up building pipes. My grandfather was a pipe manufacturer, had an operation in his backyard. So pipe cleaners are very close to my own heart. Progressive development, in fact, we're using user-centered design methodologies you heard Kelly talk about yesterday in our front end. Group uses those. We use interviews, ethnography, iterative usability testing, to help define iterations, whether that's a redesign or just coming in and saying, how can we make things better? And our programmers are using a modified agile methodology. Progressive development doesn't care about that level of minutia. You can use rational, you can use extreme programming. In fact, it's probably kind of like extreme programming from a mental model standpoint. It plays well with others. So that's a lot of theory and kind of how did we get here and what is progressive development. I've done a case study, and because I love numbers. My clients love numbers. It makes it easy for me to go to the board and say, yeah, keep working with us. We want to keep playing together. The case study is a client we've been working with for 10 years, and I just wanted to say that up front to say, well, you may say that you could get things done faster and you get them done cheaper because you know the client, you've been working together forever. We've actually done 3 major redesigns for this client and 4 major development projects because we built their very first website a decade ago. When I analyzed each iteration, I saw increasing costs every time until now. With progressive development, we are actually seeing a marked decrease in cost. I've got my numbers here. It's a 53% less. But this chart's a little misleading because it's actually apples to oranges. With progressive development, we were not only able to completely re-architect their website, completely redesign their website, but we also added functionality, blogging, and some other things. So we're able to add more if I just compare a redesign to redesign, more functionality for even less money. So if I compare apples to apples, I'm actually seeing a 64% decrease in cost using progressive development. Part of that is due to the fact that it's focused, smaller projects. As I mentioned, I work with a lot of nonprofits and public sector, and I don't know what it's like here in New Zealand, but in the States, that means committees. Committees mean a lot of time, meetings, and and everybody's got to talk about it. And 2 hours, 4 hours, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you've got this huge project. Everyone's invested in it. Everybody wants to be there. Everyone has an opinion. And obviously, user-centered design methodologies are great for cutting through some of that because you can say, that's your opinion, but look, your user doesn't agree, and have videos, and that helps. But what progressive development does is let you focus. So you look at your business priorities. You know some of, you can go in and not even do UCD. You could say, I just know this is broken because I can look at the stats and everybody's not going there. You can do UCD and help you to prioritize what you're going to do. But what it does is it allows you to do focused projects. And with this client, what we're doing is iteratively improving their architecture and iteratively improving their design component by component until at the end of the project, what we've gotten is a completely re-architected site, completely redesigned, branded, completely different branding because it's been several years. It's taken them that long to get moving. So what we're seeing is a significant cost reduction by being able to get people to focus. That way you can have smaller committees, still have committees, but smaller committees, and they're making kind of focused decisions so they're easier to do and they're not getting lost in someone's pet piece. So we're actually, I'm really excited about continuing this case study into next year when we'll be able to have baseline usability testing and then usability testing on each iteration so that I can actually graph quality, and that's going to be really exciting because what I suspect is happening, what looks like is happening from the stats, is that we're actually getting a better site too because we're getting better input and input from the right people. The cost savings in production alone is 38%. That's progressive enhancement. It's just cheaper to make change. And that's why I said that's what is key to making progressive development possible. The big companies are doing it, have been doing it for years. Google, Flickr, everyone's doing it. But if you have your underpinnings done correctly and you approach it, even the small guys, the medium-sized guys, the teams of 1 to 5 can progressively enhance their website. With respect to duration, we've got all these little projects, right? It sounds like it's going to take forever. Well, if you compare your first launch, your first improvement, to your first improvement in a traditional way, and so traditional way is like you've got to totally redesign everything and then deploy it. Progressive development is you choose something to do, you do it. You see a reduction in duration of 60%. Now, if you compare from the time you pull the trigger on the traditional method of projects, where you're actually, projects approved, you get started, total redesign to total redesign with progressive development, want to be honest, it does take longer. It takes a little longer, but if your group, clients, agency, organization, it's like the ones that I work with, you can't just gauge time by when it was approved. You've got to take into account the convincing factor. How long does it take to convince them to get it into the budget? How long does it take it to get into the budget? At minimum, it's a year. If you factor that in, progressive development gets you to a total redesign in 88% less time. Because it's smaller projects, because it takes less time or money to do, I measure time by money, because I'm an agency, or represent one, because you can't, basically you can get it done faster because you're able to get started, and you're able to do it because it's cheaper, you're able to do it in your maintenance budgets. So provided you have some sort of maintenance budget, whether it's your salary or some small your salary plus some small amount you have allocated for working with an agency, you sit down and you work together and you prioritize your business needs, your user needs, technology feasibility, and you incrementally improve your websites. This is a no-brainer to a lot of us who are very familiar with the web because we know it's not print. You don't have to throw the boxes away. But where it's really key is that it's not a campaign either. So progressive development is intrinsically web-focused. It's not a print mindset. It's not a software mindset, though the software development teams are learning from the web and doing rapid iterations. 37 signals, getting real. I don't know if you've heard about that methodology, but they're focusing on the interface and doing quick, rapid iteration. Doesn't work in an agency format because you've still got to have accountability. So if you're building your own product, it's a little easier. You can just convince your manager. You don't have to convince your manager and your manager's manager and somebody else who will then sign a check. And it's just a lot of layers. So progressive development helps to do that rapid iteration in a setting where you take that real-world budgeting cycle into account. Gradual changes are better for users and business. From a standpoint of your users, one of my favorite examples is eBay, who did all this usability testing and found out that a yellow background was not what they should do. White background was better for users. Contrast was better. So they changed it. And everyone complained. It was awful. They can't use it. They can't see it. Woe is me. So they went back to yellow, and they gradually change the background color so little over time that no one realized it was happening. Happy users, they had no idea it was changing. Happy users too, because it was a better experience. Happy business, because they're meeting goals, they're creating a better user experience, which makes it easier for them to do business. That is key to progressive development. It may be a change as small as changing your background color over time. It may be as big as saying, we want to completely redesign this website. We're going to take 6 months to a year, but every time we come, we're going to do it in a way that we break it into small parts so that as soon as we get something right, we launch it. and it's less disruptive to your users because they're not having to learn everything all at once. In fact, they may not even notice it's happened. They just are able, they're more excited, or they're able to get to their information easier. And it's easier for your business because you're not retraining everybody. It's small things that we can take in, in an average course of a day, as opposed to something we have to sit in 2 weeks of training and then nobody gets it, they don't use it, and then they never get it. So that is the core of progressive development. It's iteration. It works for small teams, big teams. It especially is good for small teams, which is where we're focused. 1 to 5 people. Gives you something you can actually get done. You don't have these monolithic projects, and when is it ever going to get done? And how you lose enthusiasm. Your users aren't getting to see, everybody's complaining about how this doesn't work, and you're like, but it will work eventually when I get approval. With progressive development, you can have it work, get it better, keep it going. It's intrinsically web. It's great for small teams. It's great for focus and commitment because it's easier to get someone to commit to changing one segment of architecture, one bit of layout, than to change everything at once. And before you know it, you've got a revolution through evolution where you made incremental changes and made everything better, and you continue. It's not just like you get an end game and you go, okay, now we're done. You can continue to do this, and what you can do is avoid major redesigns ever, unless you have a merger and everything has to change, and that's just political. But you don't have to, from a business perspective, go through that painful, large redesign cycle ever again, because you're always making it better. You're never postponing joy. You're always thinking about the user. And it may be that you do it with some of our clients. We look at quarterly improvements. Some clients, we set strategic goals month to month, and 1 month may be in planning changes, and then the second month is in implementing, because we're working in a budget. They have a certain budget every month or a certain budget over the year. Some clients we're looking at quarter to quarter. Some are twice a year, but at least it's not what we were seeing in the U.S., people waiting anywhere from 2 to 5 years to make something better, even though they knew it was broken as soon as they went live, got feedback, or, probably it took them about 6 months to a year before they realized, oh, I need to make a change. And then they just kind of stacked them up, and they had this running list of here's what we want to make better. And then they would wait for a big redesign, and that would take forever. So the power of progressive development is the power of labels. Common sense is not common. Labels make it easier for us to cut through the noise. I feel like, I was a little nervous about getting up and talking to a web group. I usually talk to executive directors and CEOs, managers, that to them I'm the geekiest person in the world, aside from their web developer. And you guys are much deeper than I am. And I was like, I'm going to be preaching to the choir. But what's exciting about it is that this is what I'm finding is working with executive directors and managers. Gives them something that, I could take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to explain it to them, 45, like I'm doing here, but I give them a label they can take back and say, this is what we're doing. It's like Ajax. Jesse was taking, he's trying to explain something to a group of people. It's like if you can give them a label, they can walk away with it, and they can put it in a business plan, or they can put it in a budget, or they can take it to the board, which is huge for me with nonprofits, because the board kind of makes all those decisions, and that's, I want them happy because I want to keep working with them, because we go back to that core corporate value for Hesketh.com is relationships, so I need to keep everybody happy. And this is what progressive development gives me, is a way to talk about the way we all know web should work, which is not like print, which is not like a campaign. And it allows us all to have fun and do good work. So I've got some references here, and I'm going to post this presentation online on our website, and I think we're getting it to Mike to post from the Webstock site as well. But here's some references for progressive enhancement and other methodologies. Jared Spool, I believe, is the one who first reported about the eBay gradual color change. So that is progressive development in a nutshell. I am Southern. I'm supposed to talk slowly. Somehow I managed to do a draw and speed at the same time. So we have plenty of time for questions and answers. First, I wanted to say thank you for listening to me. I'm really passionate about helping teams to do better work, to work better, to be excited about what they're doing. And I think that progressive development is a great way to allow you to talk to other people or to allow you just to think about, okay, you've got your day-to-day kind of grind, if you will, of maintenance, but how do you make that exciting and how do you feel like you're accomplishing something on a monthly, quarterly, yearly basis that you can feel really good about and your customers, your users can also feel good about. And that's what progressive development is about. So, it's up to you.
You mentioned a markup.
Markup methodology?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Progressive enhancement. So, as I mentioned, I'm not a technologist, although one of my technologists is here. Basically what progressive enhancement is primarily about is that separation of structure from content and presentation. We have actually been building every website for the last 3 years using exactly the same markup. And there's a lot of different designs we've done. It's also source ordered so that regardless of what device you're using, you get content that's relevant to you. So while you may be going in a browser and seeing, you know, your branding at the top and your navigation at the top and then this and that and the other, if you're coming in on a mobile device, that's actually all source ordered down to the bottom. So you get content first because that's what we're finding people on mobiles, they want something fast. They want content. They're going somewhere very specific. So that's the key. I don't know if you want to talk more about progressive enhancement, but it's about, you take a core set of, here is what, conceptually, here is the minimum we have to be able to deliver to be successful on this website page, etc. And then you layer functionality on top of that so that it gets richer and richer the more rich your device is. And it's in contrast to a methodology called graceful degradation, one that kind of sounds rude, it's so much more positive to be progressive than to be degrading, where it said, it put design first. It was about the visual design, and then it would degrade in devices and browsers. And it kind of took whatever the most recent browser was as baseline. What progressive enhancement does is it doesn't care about browser or device. It builds up from the ground so that when there are new functionalities, new technologies that are being supported, you're not having to go back and retool to be able to support those, and you don't have to have kind of, you know, different, you're building in different experiences based on device. So it's about, is it consent? Do you know any good markup examples?
Give me some common markup for your site. Do you load it up with extra structural elements, like in CSS and Garden, to allow for, you know, things that you don't know what you might need to do down the line? Or do you just kind of keep it really clean at first and build in that stuff?
I need you. Huh? Well, but it's... Is it showing the Heska.com site? I have a browser. I have the power of the internet and a technologist. Hopefully still have the power of the internet. I did earlier. So...
You saw the references are up there. There's a Wikipedia article that I put together and some other folks have contributed to.
Yeah, and I can do that too. That may be even better to pull up some of the references.
Well, this is really interesting because it's a lot of issues that Beverly was talking about yesterday morning, you know, are kind of coming up around, you know, creating common marketplaces and having
it. The same thing with Dory too, when she talks about unobtrusive JavaScript. That fits really well into the whole progressive advancement idea. It's real simple, sparse markup designed for lowest common denominator devices. You know, you layer the presentation on for browsers that can handle CSS, you add in the JavaScript for browsers that can handle the JavaScript, and so on and so forth. It's just steps, right? As opposed to the whole idea where everything's a table, and in order to change your layout, you have to redesign every page. You know?
So, you said here's some markup. We're actually not source ordering here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we call it a framework.
If you look at the different sites we've done over the last 3 years, and some of them are listed in our client section, you'll see they're not exactly the same markup, but for the most part, it's the same framework with slightly different, you know, we're improving it all the time.
Yeah.
It is, for the most part, just a 3 or 4 column header footer type layout where we can choose to use different CSS layout files. Right, so we can just say, okay, well, we're going to swap out the CSS and now we're going to see a different layout.
So this is that Wikipedia reference article, which is pretty long. And
sorry.
A lot of other external links to, and as I mentioned, I'm not a technologist, so apologies. More about process. But I know that the folks that I'm working with who are technologists, a lot of people come to work for us because of the way we're building sites. It's the way they wanted to do it, but they couldn't figure out how to get whomever to let them do it, because a lot of times you can't do it until you do a major redesign. A major redesign, as we talked about, take forever. So,
I work both on the agency and the client side. And mm-hmm. I'm interested in sort of both things. One is when I'm developing an application for a client, and I ask the question is, how do you get the client to agree on the minimum, and how do you help them sell in that idea that we're going to build this first and then the next iteration? And then my other question is, from the development side, because I'd love to see, you know, tons of this type of capability in New Zealand, is how did you make a switch, or did you actually make a switch, or was it just an evolution from a traditional, more traditional development methodology to actually
progressive development?
Well,
part of it is we work with nonprofits and government sector, and they have limited budgets. Everybody has limited budgets, but they seem to feel it more crucially than some groups, where when you're in the for-profit sector, a lot of times you can do something quarter to quarter and get into the budgeting cycle. So the way that, honestly, it sells itself when I talk to clients, because they want to do so much, but they don't have the resources. One of the things that we do as a company is not only development, but I do staff modeling. I go in and work it and say, okay, here's what you're trying to do internally. Here's what kind of resources you should have internally so you don't have to hire somebody like us. So a lot of times people think, oh, I need an architect, and really they need an architect like once a year, maybe, especially if they do some planning up front, or I need a Java developer, when really what they need is a manager, or they need 3 people and they think they need 10 or 5. So part of it is in the fact that you can go ahead and get started, and that you don't have to wait to make changes. You don't have to do, and two, when you look at the case studies and you're looking at how much cheaper it can be, say, oh, we can get a lot done. There is a certain amount of excitement to a redesign. Oh, we're just going to change it all. But you've got to work through that whole, well, it's probably not all broken right now. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Progressive development helps you figure out where the baby is and kind of siphon the water off a little at a time so the baby doesn't get hypothermia.
It's really just a risk management strategy. And if you can sell it like that as opposed to this is how we're going to weasel into every aspect of your budget kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. Client is saying, I want everything.
Right.
You know,
Well, everybody wants everything. But, you know, do you need everything? And that's where, you know, 37 Signals talking about getting real, and that's one of the things that I think the web is learning, or this, where software and web development is learning from each other, is that if you have too many features in a new product, that can be overwhelming to users. So it's almost, it's better business to focus what are the core functionality that you need. And then you don't have to wait to build it, and that's where it sells. You don't have to wait to build the whole big thing. Focus on your core functionality, build it, and get it live. Every iteration of your application, every iteration of your website is a prototype. People sometimes don't like to think about it that way, but it is, because you're layering over time. So you're getting it out there, and then you're adding that functionality and being able to really get some good user feedback and then integrate that into the next iteration, so you're actually making smarter decisions. Right. So the ideas come from all around, but what we try to do is with progressive development, part of that is keeping people thinking strategically. We work with clients who aren't, I mean, we've worked with Microsoft, which is enormous, and they called us, but normally we work with clients that are more on a human scale. And so they set aside, they know that they need, that the web is intrinsic and it's important to their business. Everybody knows that now. 11 years ago, I was telling people this web thing, you got to do it. Everybody knows it's core, but they're really not sure what that means. I've got a website, I'm keeping it up to date, maybe. What I find is that if people commit money on an annual basis for maintenance, and then you can show strategic value and not just kind of do the nuts and bolts, which is usually what happens when you're in a traditional maintenance cycle. Somebody comes and says, I want to add this, I want to add that. And it's easy, and this is where I get into kind of from an agency standpoint, it's easy to replace me, because you just need somebody who can do what they're told to do, who does what they're told to do and does it right. But what we want to do is we come and say, okay, let's, when we first start working with someone, say, how often are we going to sit down and think strategically? And it may just be 1-2 hour meeting. A lot of times I find those are really better. Anything longer than that, people just kind of wander and they start telling jokes, or I do. But set goals. And it's a lot like managing a team. You set your goals, you check back frequently. And so what we do is we say, okay, what are our goals? We're looking at, I'm really excited about planned user testing for smaller companies and organizations, where you're not just doing, traditionally, you would do big user tests on a lot, well, traditionally, you did it at the very end when it was too late to actually make any difference. You had a big, fat report. Well, That at least is going away, and people are starting to iterate and say, okay, let's do testing and fold that into design. And that's part of the project methodology, right? What I'm saying is, let's not just wait for the project. Let's do that quarterly or twice a year, or even if it's just once a year. Let's do it. Let's hear. Let's think strategically on an ongoing basis. And it is enormously exciting when, with nonprofits especially, they can take that to the board and say, not only we spent this much money and we increased our hits by this much. Right. Right. We're driving them, partly from observation of trying to see how do we continue to be engaged. And Our team really wants to feel like we're adding value, and so we do this with them to help them kind of, we're there to be their web team. Or we're there to mentor, to peer review one another if there's a web team there. And some of our clients have web teams as large as 5 or 10. A lot of them are 1, and we're kind of their peers that we can come in and we can play together, and they can learn from us, and that's strategic value to their company because they're learning things. So does that answer your question?
When applying progressive development to web applications, when you're building the sort of the initial fairly quick launch, how do you guard against making some information architecture or database architecture decision that limits the future? How do you keep it?
Or on the other hand, Frankenstein it, so that you're just, you know, bolting the same stuff.
Well, that's where when you look at progressive development versus the actual development methodologies, as I mentioned, our programmers use a modified agile approach. So even if we're building something brand new, you're still going to have some of that. Even with progressive development, you have some architecture diagrams, you have some, but you do planning on what's core first and then iterate over that with clients. So one of the things that we have found with the people that we work with, they really want to see something working they don't want to necessarily, but they don't give meaningful feedback until they can. And that is frustrating for them, because if you've spent a long time doing specifications and they've signed off on it and it isn't what they wanted because they didn't get to touch it, then they're never happy, which isn't good for them, it's not good for you. And so that's kind of what we do, is this iterative functional spec. I don't know if that answers your question, but anybody else?
You were talking about a modified agile development process.
Mm-hmm. We never just take something out of a book and just go. So it's essentially an agile methodology, but we're tweaking it to figure out how. One of the challenges that we've found, because we have front-end people, a lot of people are a front-end agency, they're a back-end agency, and we have all of that in-house, is one of the fun parts is getting both groups to work together. But the same methodology, except the fact that progressive development is an overarching methodology, the exact same methodologies don't work for both of them. And so what we're trying to do is figure out how to get. They actually wanted to do extreme programming, but that doesn't work in an agency. So progressive development is kind of a modification of an extreme methodology. It just doesn't sound so awful and like you're going to have a near-death experience. So
the quick answer is that we fight like cats in a sack over which one we're going to call, what we're going to call, what we're doing, and how we're going to refer to things. And we're out of the conflict. We've got one guy who's hardcore XP guy. We've got another guy who really likes to talk about it as agile. And so we're just sort of hammering out the differences in terminology, the difference between a product development lifecycle and, you know,
a web development.
Application development lifecycle and maintenance, you know, ongoing maintenance lifecycle. So
yeah, it sounds a lot more familiar.
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm right at my time limit. So thank you so much for your time, and have fun.